In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the first of the three readings that we heard this morning, the reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, that time is called to mind when the people of Israel were passing through the desert in the time of Moses, and the brass serpent was put on the pole and stood up in the center of the desert, and those who looked on it were healed. That is mentioned here today in the Gospel, immediately before Jesus talks about how all of those who believe on Him will have everlasting life. Those who look on the cross, as those in the desert looked on the brazen serpent, will be healed. Now this image of the brazen serpent, the brass snake on a pole, very confusing to us most of the time. There's a lengthy explanation of this in the explanation booklet about our icons, because if you read the scroll that St. Gregory the theologian is holding, he refers to exactly that text in the Old Testament and in the Gospel according to St. Matthew that we heard this morning. And he says, death, and he is addressing death itself, death, thou art overthrown by the cross, by the giver of life, and even though you keep the form of a serpent, you lie still. So what is all of this about? Now probably you have seen the symbol of medicine, the pole with the snake wound around it. What is all this business about the snake and medicine? I remember when I was a teenager, I used to think, well, because I've seen some kind of program on public television probably about extracting the venom from snakes, probably it means that sort of thing. We make medicine out of the venom of snakes, and when you want to heal a disease, you take some of it. So probably that's what it means. What it means here is this. Death is the enemy. And death has been overcome. Death itself is dead. It lies still, and it has been raised up on a pole. In the Old Testament, with Moses, it's like the enemy's head is put on a pipe and held up. Well, that's what's going on in the Old Testament. The enemy, death, is being put on a pole and held up. And those who see that it has been overcome are healed. And in St. Matthew, we are reading that the Son of Man is going to also be raised on a pole, as the brazen serpent was raised on a pole. Why? In order to do the same thing, in order to destroy the enemy, in order to destroy death. It does have something to do with healing, because the cross has the power to heal. Now what needs to be healed? The Son of God was born, and Jesus went out to perform signs and wonders to let people know that He was the Messiah. And He did many healings. But none of those healings were done for their own sake. It's not that God is not concerned about our suffering and would rather have us not suffer. That's not the case. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a world where sin, suffering, and death are present. The serpent is still there. It can still sting, but its capacity to overcome us has been destroyed. So sin, suffering, and death occur, but their meaning has been transformed. Escaping suffering is no longer the ultimate thing. Christians accept suffering and its transforming capacity. Even while we ask to be healed, even while we ask for an ease of our pain and suffering, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we understand that that may not be the case. The ultimate meaning of suffering has been changed. That's important. Now, there are Christian churches by name that don't believe that. They believe that the norm is good health, and God wants us to be healthy and whole people of the world as it is so that we can go out and accomplish the sort of works in the world that it's possible to accomplish in a world that is filled with sin, suffering, and death, a secular world where acquiring the goods of the world is the main purpose. And when that is interrupted and a life that we live for ourselves, a worldly life, my ability to do the things that I want to do is interrupted by suffering, then the only part that God really has to play is either he gets rid of the suffering or the prayer isn't answered. And healing services are held in those churches where the understanding is that a successful outcome is an end to the suffering. A miraculous change where the suffering or the lameness goes away and we are restored to full health. That's the ultimate. In those ways of understanding, or I should say misunderstanding Christianity, suffering is rejected. Death is rejected. Suffering is an intrusion into our ordinary happy lives that God wants us to have. But that's not the original message of the Christian faith. The original message of the Christian faith is that what needs to be healed is our bondage to sin and suffering and death. And that bondage to sin, suffering, and death has been overcome. And no matter what happens to us, if the martyrs are facing death, their bodies can be put to death, but their connection to the ultimate life that is God's own life, that eternal life that they have already begun to live, that cannot be taken away by the emperor or by the state. And the devil has no power to take us away from the life that we live at one with God, Jesus, the Christ, the saints. Suffering cannot separate us. We remain united to the life that overcame suffering and sin and death on the cross. That's the Christian message. We can live a life at one with God in the world, even though the serpent still keeps the same form. It can still sting. There can still be suffering. But there is a loss of the power of that suffering to put an end to our lives. And instead, we become witnesses to the new life that God has given us in Christ. We become prophets. You know, probably we're familiar with the idea, because we often hear it mentioned, that monastics, by living the full spiritual life that they do, witness to the fact that it is possible already here and now to live the life of the end time. The end time has already begun. It is possible to live the life of the saints. It is possible to live lives of the perfection of Christ. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect is possible, and the monastic witness is a witness to the fact that it is possible. Men and women lead holy lives and witness to the power of God. So we're familiar with that prophetic role of monasticism. Well, there is a prophetic role when it comes to those who suffer. If they accept it, if they consecrate their suffering and unite their suffering to the suffering of Christ, they can witness to the fact that sin, suffering, and death have been overcome. Now we have an anointing with oil. We're going to do it today for three of our members. We have to remember who is anointed in Scripture. Prophets, kings, Jesus the Christ himself. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. There is a prophetic calling that comes along with the anointing of holy chrism. The anointing with holy chrism is one of the major sacramental acts of the church. In the Western church, the Roman Catholic church, where they count sacraments, they count seven. We don't count them. We say that the church itself is a sacramental reality, a sacramental life. All of the things that we do as acts within the church are sacrament. Of course, there are major sacraments. Confession, baptism, communion, marriage, and the sacrament of holy unction, one of the major sacraments. It's not just a healing service. We don't have just a healing service. We bless with oil sometimes, but even then we remember the meaning of the sacrament of holy unction. It's good when we have ailments at home and we're not feeling quite up to par, drink a little bit of the holy water that we have in the refrigerator. But when it comes to the sacrament of holy unction, it is a sanctification of the suffering and pain of the person. A uniting of that suffering to the suffering of Christ, and the acceptance of a calling to witness to the fact that sin, suffering, and death have been overcome. It's not simply an expectation of physical restoration and the end of suffering. That isn't the quality of Orthodox Christianity. In the Western Christian Church, the sacrament of holy unction is also called, and we also call it by the same name, but don't treat it the same way, extreme unction. Extreme unction, a blessing at the extremity. They mean something a little more specific about it than what we do. We only mean that we are uniting our suffering to the suffering of Christ to be prophetic witnesses to the fact that suffering can be transformative, that it can lead us into holiness and sanctity. That's what we mean. What they mean is that you do it when somebody is about to die. It's part of the last rites. When you receive last rites, you receive the sacrament of holy unction, and you receive final communion as a Roman Catholic. Now, why do they do that and we don't? Because they don't believe that it's possible for us to participate in synergy with God in this life. Whereas we believe that's the content of our salvation. That's what we've had restored to us. We are able to act along in synergy with God and fulfill our lives. And if something happens to us, if we fall into sickness and suffering, there is the possibility, just like there is the possibility for some people to be married, to join together, and to enter into a special calling to reveal the glory of God. Just like it's possible for some people, it's a necessity. Otherwise, I don't think we would do it. Ordain some men to serve as clergy and as priests. It's a possibility. It doesn't have to be. And when it comes to the sacrament of holy unction, it's the same thing. There's a lot of suffering in the lives of all of us. But do we necessarily choose to join that suffering sacramentally as a witness to Christ having overcome sin, suffering, and death? Do we accept that calling or not? The full service of the sacrament of holy unction is actually very seldom done. Everyone, I'm sure, probably knows of the service that we did for Matushka Foley in North Carolina. If you know Matushka Foley, you could say, well, this is really appropriate to be done. And so that full sacrament was done. And all of the necessary seven priests came together. And all of the seven readings and all of the seven blessings of oil and wine were done. It's about a 3-hour service. But it's the consecration of this suffering. And in her case, she stood at the door of death. I gave the sermon that day. Father Marcus asked me to give the sermon, and he was sitting in the front row, and I was talking about things that people are afraid to talk about. Carrie was facing death. This is the point. We do this sacrament of holy unction in order to sanctify our suffering in this kind of way. In the West, they don't do it because they don't believe we can participate and cooperate with God's own action in the world. But we do believe that. So it's a very special thing. Almost like being designated as a prophet in this particular way. So as Orthodox, I think we have a calling in a society, especially in the Diocese of the South, where the idea is that God's role is to perform a healing, send us back into the world so that we can live a world-loving, God-ignoring life of our own, independent and able to function 100%. Our faith is very different from that. So when we think about suffering and resent God, you know, because he has given us suffering, these are things that we have to consider. Because all of us are called to sanctify our suffering, to offer our suffering and pain up to God so that it can be overcome. He has overcome it, and it need not dominate our lives. The stories are there. We don't have time to talk about them today. But over and over again, through the centuries, through the millennia, Christian after Christian has accomplished this. It's not the same kind of martyrdom as when someone takes the life of a Christian. But the devil is always there seeking to use his greatest weapon in order to turn us away from God. And pain and suffering is one of the best weapons he's got. But then on the other hand, God himself often, we are told, uses suffering in order to get our attention and to turn us around. Give us a challenge. Which way are you going to go? He doesn't do this unless he knows that we have the strength and the ability to turn toward him rather than denying him and going in the other direction. But the choice is always in our hands. And so whenever we face that kind of suffering challenge, we have to consider the possibility that God is calling us to witness more fully to his victory over sin and suffering and death in our own lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.